141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Don't get carried away by Yanis Hadji yet, is the message from Stephen Gerrard ahead of a cup tie at Hamilton. Celtic revisit the scene of one of their most shocking cup exits on Sunday, and Tony Watt signs for Motherwell. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight is Fraser Wishart and Hugh Keevans.
The past is sending out signals about the present for Celtic and Rangers. I was on Super Scoreboard and at Ibrox in 1987 when Hamilton Accies knocked Rangers out of the Scottish Cup. Graham Souness, the lot. And I was also on the programme on the day Clyde proved miracles do happen when they knock Celtic out of the cup. The Celtic of Roy Keane, Shunsuke Nakamura, John Hartson and Neil Lennon. So the romance of the cup means there can occasionally be a divorce from reality. But it couldn't possibly happen this weekend, could it, Fraser?
I don't think so, Hugh, but you never know. But all the big teams are in the draw. There's the Premiership clubs now all beginning to eye a place in the quarterfinals. That's when it gets really serious. You know, the early rounds when the lower league clubs come in, you get your draw. You get into this stage now, you're beginning to think, we get into quarterfinals, get a home draw, we could go all the way. And that goes from Rangers, Celtic, all the way down to the Premiership clubs. We've seen Inverness win the cup recently. We've seen St Mirren being successful in cups as well. We've seen Falkirk at the 10 finals. Everybody's beginning to get a bit excited. They could be at Hampden in the middle of May.
I'm just thinking, Hugh, does that mean that around those times, is that when things started to become your fault? Because you sounded like you were taking responsibility for it by having been there on those cup shocks.
Well, you know, it's always good to be there when something like that happens. Of course it is. Astonishment accompanied the Rangers' defeat at Ibrox because it was Graham Souness, and Rangers were carrying all before them at that particular time. Astonishment when Roy Keane could make his debut for Celtic, and a Celtic of John Hartson, Sean Maloney, Shunsuke Nakamura, you know, an incredible array of talent who went down 2-1 to a team who were in a lowly position in a league beneath Celtic. And, you know, Clyde are now two leagues beneath Celtic and in the bottom half of that league. So all I'm saying is, folks, tomorrow is the 20th anniversary of Supercaligobalistic. Celtic are atrocious. These things can happen.
141 951 1025, that's the number you need to get in touch. You can tweet at Clyde SSB. So let's hear from you. What are you expecting tomorrow and Sunday over the weekend in the Scottish Cup? Are your team in a position where they could rest players? Who would you like to see brought in? Maybe that one is aimed at you Celtic fans. What type of player would you like to see given a chance? And what about your memories of those cup shocks that Hugh Keevans mentions? Were you there? Were you watching through the cracks in your fingers at home? Or have you managed to somehow come close to erasing them from your memory? Let's hear from you. 01419511025.
St Johnstone are one team, I think, who might be looking at a wee bit of an upset, just looking down at the card there. Ayr United beat Ross County in the last round down at Somerset Park. So you're looking, just where would the shocks be? I know Hugh's talking about Hamilton and Clyde. I don't think those things will happen, but there's not too many shocks in the card. St Johnstone maybe one away from home against Ayr, as I said, and Falkirk against Hearts. You never know Hearts how they're going to turn up on an artificial pitch under the floodlights. So a few games where there might be a little slip up, but for me, I think we'll see all the big teams get through their respective games and have a really strong quarterfinals in the next round.
And Hugh, talk about the magic of the cup. We will get to it in some detail a bit later on, but BSC Glasgow, we still have Lowland League representation at this stage of the Scottish Cup. We're going to hear later on just what it could mean to them if they could pull off the unthinkable, but even being here at this stage is a tremendous achievement.
Yeah, of course, and they'll be live on television. They'll have a great day. It'll go down in their history. And Hibs will knock them out.
Well, there we go. He's getting the predictions in early.
A wee crowd there and a few quid for Brimley as well.
Yeah, but
and,
that's,
and they'll enjoy their day. Good luck to them.
I mean, he's gone in 2 days early on the prediction. That's a new record.
Honestly, I mean, really, Jack Ross has known a shock or two in his time, but Jack Ross knows that that's just not going to wash with the Hibs fans, not to win that match. So the gulf in status and ability will, with the greatest respect, shine through.
Okay, let's hear from you on the phones right now then. Don't hang about. Give us a call on 0141 951 1025. What are you expecting from your team in the Scottish Cup this weekend? Who should play? Who shouldn't play? What about your memories of cup shocks over the years as well? How confident are you that you can avoid one this weekend? 0141 951 1025. Now is the perfect time to call, right at the start of the show, and we could be hearing from you very soon. First up tomorrow then, let's do it chronological if you like. Hamilton Accies against Rangers, an all premiership tie. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, Rangers have had a hot time of it recently. I think they were 5 or 6 minutes away from being out of the title race on Wednesday night until young Hadji popped up with that goal. I don't think they would have recovered from a defeat to Hearts, a draw against Aberdeen, and then another draw against Hibs at Ibrox. But Hadji got them out of trouble, and I think that will sustain them when they go to Hamilton. Hamilton, a draw midweek against St Mirren, but a pounding from Celtic belatedly last weekend. I just can't see anything other than a fairly comfortable Rangers win.
Having said that, Fraser, you only have to go back to Sunday when Hamilton defended ever so well and were impressive with 10 men against Celtic. So clearly that would be the type of performance, and I know they ended up losing 4-1 in the end, but that would be the type of performance that if they could replicate it, surely that wouldn't be an easy afternoon for Rangers.
No, I mean, I don't think it's ever easy, because teams are very well organised and they'll make it difficult for Rangers. Hamilton Accies, their priority is obviously the league, and they were unlucky, I think, to not to win against St Mirren during the week, but they still find themselves in big trouble. So it might be almost a relief. There's not much pressure on the Hamilton players, but struck by Steven Gerrard's comments about playing a strong team. I don't see too many changes. The Scottish Cup still means so much because of Celtic with the treble, going for the quadruple treble. It means a lot. The League Cup does as well in Scotland, because that means so much to the supporters of both of those teams. And it's nice to see.
And I love that. Love that we still
play strongish teams. Yeah,
we still value the cup. Where in other countries they perhaps don't. Did I see Barcelona and Real Madrid going out last night?
Yeah.
Down south they really couldn't care less.
Well, they're making a mockery of it down south.
Even teams like Swansea, Hugh, were playing squad players, you know, and it's devalued it. Devalued it, no doubt. But I think in Scotland they haven't. I think in Scotland for many, many years, for all time, they've the big teams have certainly respected the competition by playing strong teams. Of course they'll make a few changes, but it'll be generally be the strongest team.
Steven Gerrard says the Scottish Cup doesn't have any extra significance just because they lost the League Cup final, and as Fraser hinted, Steven Gerrard says he will be picking a strong team to take on Hamilton tomorrow.
If we feel as if it's necessary to freshen it up, we always look to do it that, irrespective of the fixture or the competition. If someone's looking tired or we want to change something tactically, we always look into that, but there won't be wholesale changes because it's a cup game. It's a cup we want to try and go all the way in. Yeah, it's an important game for us, so we'll certainly be picking a strong team.
Given what happened in the League Cup final and the situation of terrorists, does this competition have added significance?
No, it'd be significant even if we won the League Cup. This is a club that demands that you give everything you've got for every competition. You can't pick and choose. So that's what we'll be doing tomorrow. We'll be going there in decent shape, certainly on the back of the second half performance against Hibs. That was extremely positive and really close to where we've been for the majority of the season. So hopefully we can take off from there.
Let's put that to Craig, who is a Rangers fan and is on the line first up tonight. Craig, any extra significance added to the Scottish Cup due to the failure of the League Cup final, or is it just the same as every season where you're trying to win everything?
No, well, I think I kind of slightly disagree with Stevie G there, because I think there is an extra significance for us, because you know we know, as has been the case all season and will continue to be the case until we win something, and as Hugh says, you know, tangible signs of improvement. You know, we're second favourites in the league. We're second favourites to Celtic in the Scottish Cup as well. But you know, because of the point gap in the league, because we've just had that slip, which by no means the league's over, because Celtic could lose points, although, I mean, it's going to require teams actually, you know, going out to play against them. But, you know, it does put extra significance, because Steven Gerrard needs silverware. There is no way he can have a second full season in charge at Ibrox with the money that he spent over those two seasons and not win a trophy, particularly if losing that trophy means handing Celtic a quadruple treble and a silver platter, you know, we just can't afford to allow that to happen. I think I'm glad that he's going to play a full-strength squad tomorrow, or at least near that, because we need to take it seriously. I do think, though, when there are changes you can't, you know, there are one or two changes you can always afford to make in games like this. It's a shame we've got this, frankly, stupid cup tie rule, which means like Kimberi won't get, you know, won't be able to play. You know, I've never personally been a fan of it because I don't see how you gain an advantage because you sign a player in January that happened to play in a cup game in November. But, you know, so these are the changes that he could have maybe made if he'd have been allowed to, but he's got to take it seriously because we need silverware. If this season ends and we've not won silverware, Celtic have won a quadruple treble, it's a failure. Again, Craig, it's frankly a failure.
Craig paints a totally accurate picture. Rangers as a club, last major trophy win 2011. Therefore, the club needs a trophy, a major trophy. Steven Gerrard as a manager has done great things for Rangers, but for winning a trophy. He needs to get a trophy for his own CV. He has improved the side beyond measure. They are on Celtic's coattails for the title. However, he needs to win a trophy. And Craig again is correct when he says that if you get to the end of a second season with nothing at all, then questions will be asked.
Let's hear a bit more from Steven Gerrard just while you're on the line, Craig. He says Yanis Hadji isn't making it easy for him to contain the hype surrounding the player from the supporters. He says the player's well equipped to deal with the physicality of Scottish football and grew into the game on Wednesday.
Listen, it was a fantastic finish. Looking back at the game, you can see him coming to terms with the physicality all up here in Scotland and getting used to the speed and the pace in the first half, but he grew and grew as the game went on. What I was impressed the most about him is even when we were 1-0 down, even at 1-1 and the crowd was a little bit edgy, he had the bravery and the character to go and receive in any situation, and it was him that was pushing to be the difference. I asked that of him and some other individuals at half-time, and I certainly got the response I was after, but I'm sure people are going to get carried away now because he scored the winner on his first start. But he still will take time to adapt to all the different venues and environments and teams we come up against, but he's certainly a talent. He's actually got a better build than he actually probably looks on the eye. He's a really strong lad, looks after himself really well, so he'll be fine. You know, he kept getting back up. That's the impressive thing about it, that other people in that situation might have maybe gone missing, but he certainly never. He stood up, rolled his sleeves up in Gromley.
Craig, if he's getting used to different venues and different challenges, is a way at Hamilton somewhere that you would still put him straight in to start? I mean, that's a very different challenge from at Ibrox, I would imagine.
I think if I don't think I would start him at Hamilton. I'd maybe bring him on off the bench, but I wouldn't start him because, you know, Hamilton's a difficult pitch. You know, I don't personally like having plastic pitches in the Premier League, and there, you know, you don't want to risk starting them at Hamilton and then he picks up an injury, because those pitches are terrible for things like that. I think people might be getting a bit carried away, but I think part of it is because Gerrard's been saying for the last five games in a row, you know, that we've been missing a spark. And then Wednesday night against Hibs, when our backs were against the wall and we've allowed Hibs to go and take the lead and then we've had to come back, Hadji provided that spark with a goal he scored, because I can tell you that the tension at Ibrox, you know, was at a fever pitch until that goal went in, because you were thinking the whole time, here we go, it's more drop points and Celtic are now going to go 10 in front of us, which would have been disastrous. So I think that's why people are getting excited. Personally, I think he was one of the only players when he came on off the bench against Aberdeen as well who did okay enough to get a pass mark, because there wasn't many of them in that day either. So if he is going to be the spark that Gerrard keeps on saying we're missing, then I'm happy for him, but I wouldn't risk starting him.
Well, why would you risk Tavernier or any other player?
Well, these are players who have played in that pitch before. You know, Hadji won't have played in that sort of pitch.
He must have come across a synthetic surface in his time somewhere.
Also, if you're, and by the way, we've got Fraser Wishart on here, who has been wrongly painted as the
you'll have Les Gray from Hamilton phoning up.
Yeah, and even Fraser would admit, I think, although players have said that they don't like them, they're still not that conclusive proof that you're more likely to get injured. So let's not be too unfair, Craig. I feel like that, you know, we're painting out as if you're asking guys to go and play on broken glass. I don't think that's quite the case. So let's not be too unfair. That was Craig in Cumbernauld. Let's speak to Archie in Shawlands. Hi, Archie.
Good evening, guys.
Hi, Archie.
I'd like to ask you a question, guys. Do you think if Steven Gerrard doesn't win a trophy this season, he should be sacked? Bearing in mind, Ronnie Dalglish was winning trophies at Celtic, and there was punters in this channel that works on this station, and indeed to tell the public Ronnie Dalglish should be sacked. But at the end of the day, Ronnie Dalglish was winning trophies. Steven Gerrard is not winning anything, and he's supposed to, we know he's a superstar football player. But this is a different world now. He's a football manager for the so-called second best team in Scotland. He should be winning something, surely.
Ronnie Dalglish was removed by Celtic because it was felt that Celtic were not moving in the right direction under Ronnie Dalglish. He did win two league championships and deserves credit for that, but he was removed after a defeat from Rangers because Celtic were concerned about the direction in which the club was headed. If Steven Gerrard does not win a trophy this season, then his future will become a matter for conjecture. I'm not suggesting that Rangers will sack him, but his future will become a matter for conjecture because if Celtic have 9 in a row, will Rangers trust Steven Gerrard to stop 10? That will be the question.
Fraser, I'm always fascinated by these questions because I know we love to have things as black and white, the truth is, it's never really like that, and there are varying degrees of failure. Yeah. For instance, if Steven Gerrard gets put out of the cup tomorrow and ends up 15 points behind Celtic in the title race, that's a very different picture to getting to the Scottish Cup final, losing it in the last minute and taking the title to the last day. So I know it makes people feel a bit comfortable to throw out the generalisation now. If he doesn't win a trophy, will he be sacked? But surely the devil will be in the detail.
Yeah, absolutely. And the question being asked will be asked. And I think, as you're saying, that Gerrard's future will be part of a discussion. But I think your point's absolutely spot on. I was going to make exactly the same point, as it depends on what happens. You know, if they lose a point, they lead by 1 point, and they get losing the cup final, having outplayed Celtic like they did in the last cup final, I think overall you look at it and say, well, you know, the team's improved hugely, and it has improved hugely. And I don't know, Craig was on earlier, and other people are saying that he's been backed hugely, and there's no doubt the Rangers board have pushed the boat out probably as far as they possibly can, and Rangers are far, far better. We don't know what's going on in terms of the form in the last 2 years after the window, why they've come back from ending the year on a high to not being able to pick that up straight away. But they're not out of the league yet, and the cup is just starting to get to the nitty-gritty stage. You're spot on. If they don't win a trophy, even if it's very, very close, of course there'll be questions asked. I think it depends on the nature of where they are at the end of the season. But I agree, it's important for Rangers to win a trophy this year and try and get themselves back on the winner's pedestal.
Archie and Shawlands, thank you very much for the call. Celtic have actually just released their interim figures, so if that's the type of thing that excites you, stay there and we'll bring you them next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Getting you full compensation is their goal. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans is here, Fraser Wishart is alongside him, and we are building up to a big weekend of Scottish Cup action. Breaking news just in the last sort of 20 minutes or so, and it's that Celtic have released their interim figures. So it's the 6 months up to Hogmanay, basically up to the 31st of December. I know there are a lot of financial experts out there, Hugh.
Of course.
Twitter has taught us that. So you'll be able to pick your way through these. Revenue increased 6% up to 53.3 million. Profit from trading 7.1 million up from last year. Pretty much everything is up from last year. Profit from transfer of player registrations up to 23 million. I'm just going to skim over a couple of them. And the bottom one, which says period end net cash, net of debt and debt like items, 45.1 million pounds. Compare that to 37.7 in the previous set of results. So
what I would say to you then, we've got 45 million pounds in the bank. On one side of the coin, this is a tribute to the ongoing success of the business model. There is a well-run football club for you. The caveat, if Celtic don't win the league, the fans will then turn on them, there'll be a backlash, and they will say Celtic had all that money in the bank and did not win the league. And they will turn then on Ian Bankier, the chairman. They will turn on Peter Lawwell, the chief executive. They will turn on everyone if Celtic don't get the league, because a terrific balance sheet is not nine in a row, and the fans want nine in a row.
It's the only business, or one of the few businesses in the world, where you get criticised for making profits.
Yeah,
you know? And the fans expect it to be invested. And that's in a couple of years where Celtic haven't qualified for the Champions League as well. So that, like, people in this room, no expert in these matters, but that all looks good to me. But as you say, Hugh, at the end of the year, then they'll be judged
to be accurate. I think in terms of cash in the bank, and someone, there will be a financial expert who can pick me up on this if I'm wrong, I think that's 32.9 million.
Alright, let's just put it another way.
Just 32.9 million.
Let's just put it another way. Celtic have tens of millions of pounds in the bank. That's all you have to say. They have tens of millions of pounds in the bank. Football, particularly in this city, particularly the rivalry between these two clubs, works in two ways. On one side of the ledger, you have economics, tens of millions of pounds in the bank. On the other side of the ledger, you have emotion. The fans want nine in a row, because you can't get 10 unless you get 9. And there will be a backlash, and the tens of millions of pounds will count for nothing if Celtic don't win the league.
This is the period of time which would take the Kieran Tierney transfer fee into account as well, so worth bearing that in mind. Ken is a Celtic fan in Cambuslang. Ken, what type of fan are you when you hear these figures? Is that something that makes you proud? Is it something you're interested in? Are you very much a just focus on what happens on the pitch type of guy?
Focusing on what's happening on the pitch, to be honest with you. I mean, we can say they get so much money in the bank, but I mean, you know, it doesn't really mean a great deal for me. To me personally, I'm not one of these financial people, you know.
Okay, sorry.
But I'm actually also phoning up for 2 points. One's about the Celtic game against Clyde, and one's about Stephen Gerrard. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to ever go about Stephen Gerrard. Mm-hmm. But in the game against Clyde, I think that maybe they should rest Edward. I'd like to see Klamala starting up front with Griffiths to see what he can do. He's looked good in the couple of games that he's been on as a sub.
What do you think, Hugh? You always hear these types of things, you know, can't take too many chances, don't make too many changes. But I mean, these are guys that cost millions of pounds. You're playing a team, with no disrespect to Clyde, who are in the bottom half of our bottom tier. So there must be room for changes.
Well, the problem, if I can call it such, is that when you have won 10 domestic trophies in a row, when you want to have a quadruple treble, when you have gone 32 League and Scottish Cup ties without losing, history walks on to the park beside you every time out. And when Celtic go to Broadwood, history is on their shoulders. They want it, the fans want it, and therefore I agree with Ken that perhaps Edward may be the one that's spared on this occasion, and Klamala did cost £3.5 million, and it's time for him to earn his keep. But in general terms, Celtic go on to the park accompanied by history, and they must want to protect their legacy.
Let's hear from Neil Lennon on that very subject, Ken, that you brought up. He has been mentioning that he will make changes, but not too many. And as you might expect, he's trying his best not to think about the defeat to Clyde in 2006.
I mean, we'll have a look at it for definite. And, you know, the game's not till Sunday, so we'll have a couple of days to think about it. And then we will make a few changes, I'm sure, but not too many. You don't want to overdo it, though. You know, there's a few players bubbling under. You know, the likes of Ryan, he could do with the game. You know, Elianusi, you know, he's coming back to fitness. He may need some game time as well. But, you know, we'll still go strong. We're not going to take it lightly. We're the cup holders, and we want to defend the trophy vigorously and make sure we're concentrated, focused and ready for the game. But we're not going to take this game lightly. We're not going to disrespect the opposition either.
Did you brought up the defeat?
No. That's a long, long time ago. Don't really want to bring it up for my own personal reasons either. I remember it well, so you try not to remember the defeats, you know, in your subconscious, you try and sort of take them out. But yeah, that was, one of our better days.
Fraser, is this an ideal opportunity for Patrick Klamala or not?
Yeah, I think it's a game where you need to give them a run. And I agree with Ken. I think that Celtic will protect two or three of their key players. I don't think there'll be wholesale changes, but you're hardly weakening the team when you're bringing in Ryan Christie, probably the best player up until the new year in Scottish Premiership. You're bringing in Elinoussi, an international player. You're bringing in others as well.
I mean, Rogic has been on the bench. Jeremy Frimpong might be coming back, or is that not? I think that might be the start
he'd
next
hardly criticise Neil Lennon though if he brought in these players, because they could easily walk into to the starting 11 and they'll feel they had enough. I think he's going to, you've got so many big games coming up. They get European ties, which are really important to get the coefficient up, as well as our team's getting a good run in the cup as well, and of course the league. We know that as well. So I think two or three of the key players will be rested, but it'll still be a strong team Celtic will put out. But yeah, and if you're not going to play Clamall against Clyde, and then where are you going to play him between now and the end of the season? You know, he came in possibly as the number two to Edouard, but Griffiths has come back and been terrific in the last four or five games. So a chance for the Celtic fans to see him. Although again, tricky game, decent side, Clyde, we well organised, some good players. McStay and Grant, Hugh, you'd have said years ago, yeah, if it's Clyde against Celtic, they would be wearing the hoops, but they're not, they're wearing the black and white for Clyde.
The only problem when you make change, and Fraser's right, it's hardly downsizing the side to bring in Christie and Elyounoussi. The only problem though, when Celtic played Ross County at Celtic Park in the first half, they were all over the place. And the fans then said, ah, but that was because they hadn't played together. And that explains everything. Now, it would stand to reason that if a few changes are made, then you'll have a whole team who are not used to playing together.
Yeah, but that was still Premiership opposition as opposed to opposition from the lower end of our lowest tier.
Yeah. There ought to be no Celtic 11 that can go down to Clyde. But I'm sure when Shunsky Nakamura looked at Roy Keane, Roy Keane looked at John Hartson, John Hartson looked at Sean Maloney, Sean Maloney looked at Neil Lennon. That's what they thought 14 years ago.
What are your memories of that day, Ken? Have you tried to forget about it?
I had forgotten about it until we're gone against him again. You know, but I'm sure lightning won't strike twice. I mean, as you said earlier, there are two leagues below us now, they're even at the bottom half of that league, so I'm not expecting any upsets against Clyde. I mean, the only upset I can see regarding Rangers and Celtic would possibly be the Hamilton game, because they're still in the same league and they could cause Rangers problems.
Well, we will watch that one with interest, that's for sure, especially if Hamilton defend as well as they did in the early stages against Celtic last weekend. Let's hear from Danny Lennon, shall we? So Neil Lennon's tried to forget about that game, but Danny Lennon's using it as inspiration. That's the way these things work, isn't it? He says, He's been trying to draw on it for inspiration. He's been speaking to our senior sports reporter Alison Conroy ahead of that match.
A tool that we use is videos, and what we have done, we put that game on straight away, that it was there accessible for the players to go and watch at any given time. And what a performance it was with Clyde that day. You know, they harried, they chased, and played very, very well, and were the winners that day. That's what you have to do.
You're hoping that lightning can strike twice. Neil Lennon was in that team that day. He's bringing his team back here, and he'll be hoping the complete opposite.
I hope he's in the team on Sunday. No, certainly. And they'll know what they're coming to. And as I said there, Celtic's got a very, very busy period coming up, but they've got a squad in depth. And while the two clubs are miles and miles apart in so, so many ways, Alison, it is one that we'll go and certainly enjoy and pick our wits, and we want to go and challenge ourselves against them.
You of course played against Celtic's under-20s earlier in the season. You tempted?
Well, it would be nice. It would be nice, Alison. And you do, you miss it terribly. So you do. But that was unforeseen circumstances. You know that they had to do that. But it would certainly be nice there, wouldn't it? It would be. You know, a midfield trio there, Lennon, McStay and Grant. I really think that should have been the three in the 90s.
Danny, best of luck on Sunday.
Thanks very much, Alison.
Danny, get over it. The legs have gone. It's over. Just stay in the dugout. I'm sure that he, good man and good manager that he is, will have his players in exactly the right frame of mind. But you have to believe that young McStay, young Grant, the rest of the team who are in the bottom half of the third tier of Scottish football, you have to believe that if Celtic turn up and play, Celtic win.
Yeah, and I'm thinking back to that phrase. As much as it was an out, one of our standout shocks, really, that was still a Clyde side in the second tier of Scottish football. You know, it was a Clyde side that was a good bit ahead of where the current side are. However, I'm sure there will be lots of Clyde fans listening who will fancy that, you know, if they catch Celtic on an off day. You know, guys like David Goodwillie scored a lot of goals over the last few seasons. So the beauty of it is, at this stage on the Friday night, you can dream.
Yeah, I mean, they'll be going to sleep tonight and tomorrow night thinking, this is a big day, can we do it? And I think it'll be a bigger shock than the last time. Although Celtic's team, and I was looking at it today, just to remind us of the team issues, rhymed off the number of players that were playing on that day. But you're right, they were a Championship team, and at that point Clyde were almost on the verge of getting up to the SPL, as it was at that time as well. So they had a strong team. They've also got John Rankin, an old PFA chairman and experienced player in there to dictate play, allow the youngsters to do the running. They've got Chris Johnson, who's almost broke through to be the next big thing at Kilmarnock. So they've got one or two decent players. Greg Wilde is there as well. So they've got a few decent players. But you just can't see, it would be a huge shock. And I don't think anybody will be putting their money on Clyde to win. But they want to enjoy their day. They want to compete, make a good show for themselves. And they'll be saying, you never know.
If history is your companion, your constant companion, if you have won three trebles in a row and you want a quadruple treble, and you can't do that without winning the Scottish Cup, do you want to be the Celtic player who walks off the park and who is then haunted for the remainder of the season by the thought that history, your legacy, your 32 in a row came to an end against a team from the third tier of Scottish football?
You know, some the Clyde players will be going out there thinking, we've got a chance of winning this. You know, football players believe they can win games. If Celtic go a goal up or two goals up, then it all kind of dissipates. But at the start of that game, these players will be excited. They'll know it's a I don't know, a small percentage chance, 1 in 100 or whatever else. But they'll go out there believing it. They'll go out there and it's their big day, and they'll take it to Celtic wherever they can. They'll try and close them all down. They'll harry. And the start of that game will be very important. If Celtic get on top, of course it'll be one way. But these people don't understand that the Clyde players will go out there actually believing, we've got a chance here, we're going to give this our best shot, this is our day.
I think I did Clyde a disservice by saying they were from the bottom tier, which is of course wrong. Nice of you two to pick me up on it, by the way. But
no problem.
It was just a test to see if you were listening. Here's something we don't get very often actually. Are there any Clyde fans out there? Because we don't get many Clyde fans on the phone. This could be the perfect time for you to get in touch. How excited are you about the weekend? Can you do it? And what are your memories of that game in 2006? Any Clyde fans out there, this is the perfect time to call. We'll hear from Mark in Knightswood next. 01419511025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. They play to win every time. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Fraser Wishart here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Let's take the next call from Mark, who is a Rangers fan in Knightswood. Hi, Mark.
How are you doing, Gordon? You all right, bud?
Not too bad. How are you?
Not bad, my friend. How are you doing, Hugh and Fraser? Thanks very much.
Hi, Mark.
I've just actually phoned in, guys, earlier on there with the boy Archie that phoned in, saying about sacking Steven Gerrard if he doesn't win anything. But that's ludicrous. I don't even know where he's coming from with that sort of thing. At the end of the day, the guy's done a lot for us. I mean, he's brought us forward and we've built a good team. And we're doing all right. I mean, well, we did do all right last year until the break. But I don't know what happened to Rangers with the winter break. The same last year as well. We've done dreadful coming back for the winter break. But to sack, I mean, even to say to sack Steven Gerrard, that's what got my back up, I feel.
Well, let's be honest, it's part of the culture. Celtic fan comes on and says, oh, they'll sack Steven Gerrard. Q Rangers fan coming on and says, ah, they'll sack Neil Lennon if he doesn't win the league. The bottom line here, Mark, is that if Steven Gerrard, and I do understand we're speaking hypothetically, if Steven Gerrard does not win a trophy for a second season in a row, then his future will become a matter of conjecture. That's as far as we are going. People will say, well, he couldn't stop 8 in a row. He couldn't stop 9 in a row. Can Rangers trust him to stop 10 in a row? It will become a matter for conjecture.
I think, Fraser, what's maybe a bit different about this one, because remember around the League Cup final there were similar questions. You know, it was how important has the League Cup become to Rangers, because you're looking for that trophy, you're looking as to what Hugh Keevans calls a tangible sign of success. The Scottish Cup isn't decided until after the league. you know, and everyone knows that that is the real big one. So maybe it doesn't quite have the same. Maybe the question's not quite as hard hitting when you talk about the importance of the Scottish Cup to Rangers. It goes without saying they want to win it, but actually, we'll know in the weeks previous whether they've won the league or not.
Well, I think this year it's actually the cups before the last league game, because they've brought it forward for Euro 2020. So we might know who's won the league or who's not, or we could be going into the last day, and hopefully that's the case. It'd be great to have a last day decider. I think what Mark's saying there is right. I think Rangers fans are pleased with the stuff that Steven Gerrard's done. Last year was a kind of first year in, trying to pick up from a disastrous season before, with managers coming and leaving, and Pedro Caixinha and Graham Murty and all that was going on. This year, I think, has been one where I think the Rangers fans have judged Steven Gerrard more. And so far, they've outplayed Celtic in the cup final. The league form has dropped a wee bit, but they're still in the title race and they're still in the Scottish Cup. But if they implode, and as we said earlier, they lose tomorrow, and then they implode in the league and lose it by a high number of points, then that's a different matter from actually running Celtic very, very close, because boards will look at the overall picture. But I think Steven Gerrard does know the importance of winning one of these two trophies this year, especially after playing so well in the League Cup final and still losing. Celtic still beat them.
Any worries about a cup shock tomorrow, Mark?
I'm a wee bit concerned for the more I am. A wee bit dubious about it. More. I mean, I'm going myself tomorrow anyway, so... I'm worried about the Mora. More so when I've seen them playing against Celtic, and the way they played. And that's what the thing about Rangers. No, we can't seem to kind of play the same kind of format. So clubs are starting to realise how we're playing, and then once we play, we can't break down that defence. And that's. But again, I think. I mean, we played no bad against last week against Aberdeen. I mean, it was a wee bit, touch and go at places, but. I think put a good, a no bad performance compared to the previous weeks. I mean, Tavernier, he's been certainly missed for the past few weeks. And he brought a lot to the game on Saturday. But that young man, Haig, I mean, he was fantastic. And it was really a joy for to watch him. No, and I just hope if he ain't like his dad, well, he'll bring a lot to
Rangers. Yeah, he wasn't bad. He was not bad at all. I'm well aware that on Friday night you sort of have to hang these things on ifs. So yeah. There are a few ifs in here. But the Rangers fans who have been calling us since January say that they've been struggling to break teams down. So if they continue on that vein, and then if Hamilton defend as well as they did against Celtic, that's got the ingredients for a difficult afternoon, does it not?
Yeah, I think Mark made the point there that sometimes teams can get to grips with the way you're playing, and Rangers change when Gerrard came in with a 4-2-3-1 formation to a 4-3-3, but quite narrow. You know, the likes of Arfield and Kent, narrow, supporting Morelos from in there. The two midfield players either side of Davis, narrow, relying on Tavernier and Barisic to go down the line. When Tavernier's not there, I think he's missed. Sometimes you become a better player when you're not playing, because people say, oh, you are actually quite good. So Tavernier makes such a huge difference in an attacking sense. That's where I think Hadji can make a difference. He can pick holes in tight defences.
Thanks to Mark in Knightswood. We've got Jim in East Kilbride. Jim is a Clyde fan. We said we don't get many Clyde fans. This is the magic of the cup though. Jim, how do you remember that day in 2006?
Well, I was watching Clyde that season, and they were a good team.
Yeah.
They were a good first division side. I mean, they nearly went up that season, but I mean, they had some good players like Bryson and Alec Williams was there, Higgins, the big Tam Brighton who went on today, well, Eddie Malone, and they were a good side. I mean, yes, Clyde had the ball in the net five times that game. It wasn't about bad referees, it was one that day, and they missed a penalty.
That's what was so spectacular about it looking back.
Yeah.
You get cup shocks, and sometimes, I remember one of Celtic's other cup shocks recently, for instance, Hugh, was when Morton knocked him out of the League Cup at Celtic Park. But yeah. Celtic battered Morton that night, and it was one of those freak nights, and well done to Morton, they got the result. But Clyde deserved that win. They absolutely deserved to win that match.
Jim's right. Clyde had two goals disallowed before they were allowed their first goal. And it's almost surreal now to look at that Celtic team. Artur Boric was in goal. The man that Alan Shearer said during the World Cup was probably the best goalkeeper in the world. And all of those names, the stellar names, the Nakamuras and Maloney's and Lennon's and Hartson and Keane.
Did you deliberately leave out Douay from that list there?
I did, because he was an absolute dud on the day and was never seen again.
Well, Hugh, I'll tell you about Duvet. Big Tam Brighton put him on his Archie in the first 30 seconds and he never kicked the ball again.
Well,
and you know,
yeah.
See when they brought him on, I was sitting no far behind Strachan. I used to take my son Leon to the games. And sorry to say, he died last year, so I'm going to put 15 quid on Clyde to beat Celtic again tomorrow because it's a good memory. But Wee Strachan brought on Virgo and they were 2-0 down. And I shouted to Wee Strachan, you're as well bringing on Virgo. You're going to need snookers. Oh, he was well, laughing.
Adam Virgo was
a wee nod at the end of it.
Yeah, Adam Virgo was another.
Burn, do we?
No. He was another signing that didn't go according to plan. With the greatest respect, Jim, you know, it shouldn't happen. But as I say, tomorrow is the 20th anniversary of Inverness Galatasaray going to Celtic Park and winning there. 87, Hamilton Accri should never have beaten Rangers at Ibrox, but they had big David McKellar in goal and he was unbelievable on the day. Celtic should never have lost to Clyde 14 years ago, but they did. And that is the crumb of comfort that you hang on to tonight, Jim. It happened before.
I've got lovely memories of that game. And I'm going to watch it tomorrow.
Good
team. And it happens. It sometimes happens. You just never know. Nobody gave Clyde a chance. Clyde were a better side then. But nobody gave him a chance then. And they turned him over. So you just wait and see.
Good man, Jim. Great memories for you as well. So hopefully you enjoy your weekend. We've got Clyde fans on Twitter as well. Paul Patterson says, good to hear Celtic fans on Clyde Super Scoreboard saying rest players, play the fringe players. That's good, Celtic. Take us lightly like last time, says Paul. Hashtag Billy Wee. And he's,
are you a fringe player if your name's Ryan Christie? Mm. Are you a fringe player if your name's Tom Rogic? Are you a fringe player if your name is Mohamed El Yunusi? No. You know, so these are the fringe players who are coming in. As I say, there is a thing known as the romance of the cup. People who support Rangers still have nightmares about losing to Berwick Rangers, and that was over 50 years ago. But if you believe in logic and reason, there is no way that Clyde should be able to beat Celtic on Sunday.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Before we go any further, I heard some truly disturbing news surrounding Beat the Pundit today.
Oh.
Because two members of the Clyde One Super Scoreboard team now work together, Hugh Keevans, Fraser Wishart and Craig Beattie. Uh-huh. And it has come to my attention that they teamed up in the office this afternoon to try and second guess what questions might come up on Beat the Pundit tonight to try and prepare Fraser. So I hope it's Fraser and I hope he gets every one of them wrong. But your chance to beat the pundit tonight is right now. 0141 951 1025. Give us a call. Do it quickly before the news at 7 and you could win that sign ball if you beat the pundit.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation you deserve. When there's been foul play, talk to thompsons.com.
Friday night's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, Hugh Keevans and Fraser Wishart are here. We're here until 8 o'clock, so that means plenty of time to get your calls in ahead of this weekend's Scottish Cup action. Let us know all your thoughts ahead of some big matches. We've had a Clyde fan just before the news. Any more Clyde fans out there want to come on? Give us the positive case for the cup shock. Let's hear it. And what about you Motherwell fans? Signing Tony Watt today on a deal until the end of the season. Is that a good piece of business by your club? Yes or no? 0141 951 1025.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It is Beat the Pundit time, the final chance of the week for you to win the signed ball if you can get more questions right than Fraser or Hugh. The man with that challenge on his shoulders tonight is Stephen from Ayr. How are you, Stephen?
How you doing, Gordon?
Are you well?
I am well. Good I'm man. Out for revenge here.
Oh, right, you've been on before. Who against, Hugh?
Gordon.
Gordon Dale? Did you beat him?
No, he's maybe too clear, I think.
Oh, no, I can't believe you came on here and admitted that, Stephen. I'll toss the coin and see if it is going to be Hugh Keevans or Fraser Wishart. I might have to relocate my coin. Where is it? There it is, Hugh Keevans. Heads, it's Hugh. Tails, it's Fraser. And it is heads. It's Hugh against Stephen from Ayr. So, here's the drill. I'm going to give Hugh something else to listen to, and that way he can't hear your answer, Stephen. The 30 seconds is going on the clock. You're head to head with Hugh. You can pass. Here is your chance to beat the pundit. Are you ready?
Yep.
Right, let's get stuck in. Which St Mirren player will miss the rest of the season with a knee injury?
Pass.
Which English team did Gordon Strachan manage to an FA Cup final?
Coventry.
Who did Arbroath famously beat 36-0 in the Scottish Cup?
Pass.
Which former Celtic player is Wales' sixth highest goal scorer of all time?
John Hartson.
Whose mascot is named Rocky the Rooster?
Livingston.
Who knocked Rangers out of last season's Scottish Cup?
Aberdeen.
Okay, let's bring Hugh back. Hugh, can you hear us?
I can.
Great. Same set of questions to you.
Okay.
Which St Mirren player will miss the rest of the season with a knee injury?
Flynn.
Which English team did Gordon Strachan manage to an FA Cup final?
Coventry.
Well, who did Arbroath famously beat 36-0 in the Scottish Cup?
Shortest born accord.
Which former Celtic player is Wales' sixth highest goal scorer of all time?
Joe Ledley.
Whose mascot is nicknamed Rocky the Rooster?
Pass.
Who knocked Rangers out of last season's Scottish Cup?
Celtic.
Name one country that Tony Watt has played in outside the UK.
Bulgaria.
Okay. He got through one more question, Stephen. What do you think?
I think he's just chinned maybe one.
Chinned you by one. Let's find out how much he's chinned you by. The first one, which St Mirren player will be out for the rest of the season with a knee injury? It is Ryan Flynn. Terrible news for him and all involved. We wish him a speedy recovery. Second one, which English team did Gordon Strachan manage to an FA Cup final? You both went Coventry, but the answer was Southampton. Yeah. So 1-0 to Hugh Keevans. I feel a bit bad on you, Stephen, in this one. Who did Arbroath famously beat 36-0 in the Scottish Cup? Hugh was there, so he knows fine well that it was Bon Accord. Unfortunately, you did not. He goes into a 2-0 lead. I must admit, this was a very niche question.
Can I make a point? I don't think it was shots Bon Accord.
No, it was just Bon Accord. Bon Accord. Very niche question from producer Andy. Which former Celtic player is Wales' sixth highest goal scorer of all time? I've never heard anyone referred to as being the sixth highest goal scorer, but now you'll never forget it. It was Craig Bellamy.
Oh,
so there we go. Whose mascot is nicknamed Rocky the Rooster? It's Adrianians. I'm not entirely sure the significance of the rooster, but by all means, get in touch and tell me. Now, I must admit. Oh yeah, it's on the badge, isn't it? There is a rooster. Stephen, I was worried for you at this stage because we had a zero on last night's Beat the Pundit, and you're still on zero after five questions. It all comes down to your last question to save face. Who knocked Rangers out of last season's Scottish Cup? Hugh Keevan says Celtic. You said Aberdeen. And you're right, Stephen. You've got one on the board. At this stage, that feels like a win. Unfortunately, Hugh beat you by a chinji by 3-1 because Tony Watt has also played in Belgium and Bulgaria. So it was a 3-1 victory for Hugh Keevans. Hardline, Stephen.
Guys, 8 questions were stink tonight. Thanks, just you.
Bye, Stephen.
I'll pass
bye,
your Stephen. Feedback on to producer Andy. Do you hear that through there? Stinking questions, he says. Stinking.
It's a funny thing about Aberdeen. Under Derek McInnes, you know, since Derek turned down the Rangers job, he has been a big problem for Rangers. You know, Aberdeen, I think, knocked Rangers out of two cup competitions last season.
Yeah,
Two draws this season,
both in Glasgow, one at Hampden, one at Ibrox.
Yeah, he has this at a time when Aberdeen are simply not playing well at all, and they could not deny that. They haven't scored a league goal in 2020 yet, but they inflicted a bit of damage on Rangers again last weekend.
0141 951 1025. That is the number you need to get in touch tonight, so don't hang about. Let's hear from you, and we'll talk all things Scottish Cup, just slightly away from the cup, although he may make his debut tomorrow. Motherwell fans, what about the signing of Tony Watt? Is that one you're happy about? Let us know your thoughts. 0141 951 1025. We'll hear from Stephen Robinson. He's hoping Tony Watt can get back to his best after that short term deal. He has signed until the end of the season. He's been training with the Fir Park side this week, and the manager says the timing was right after losing James Scott in the January window.
We lost James right at the last minute. You know, we turned down a number of bids until we eventually got to a selling point that was right for everybody. So, you know, the deal wasn't done until about 11:30 at night, so we didn't have the opportunity to replace him. I think what he gave us, James, different than everybody else. He gave us a physical presence as well and gave us an outlet in all three positions. To get somebody like Tony with his experience at this stage was, you know, we were very pleased with that. I think he adds experience to the squad. he's very, very hungry. That's the big key to me, to keep Tony hungry. There's no doubt in his talent. We know he's a talented boy, and you know he's come in and done very well over the period of time he's been here, so we're hoping to have a real positive impact on it. You know, it was a case of, you know, did Tony want this? Did we want this? Did we need this? And, you know, where was Tony fitness levels and hunger levels? And all those boxes were ticked by, you know, by the end of the week. I was actually convinced after the first day, but didn't say anything because of his talent. But I think he's got his hunger back, you know, and it is a short-term contract to earn a longer-term one.
A short-term contract, Hugh, it seems from the outside like a deal that suits both parties.
Yeah. Fascinating character, Tony Watt. I've heard people say the worst thing he ever did was score against Barcelona. I don't subscribe to that. I think you'll have that in your memory for the remainder of your life, and why not? I scored the winning goal against Barcelona at Celtic Park. He's gone on, I think, and had the kind of life, professional life, that Tony Watt wanted. He's been around. He's had his adventures, if you like, and he has enjoyed his life. And it's his life at the end of the day. I've heard all sorts of reasons why he didn't make it at Celtic, but he seems to me to have lived the life that he wanted to lead, and this is the next chapter, and I'm quite sure that he's looking forward to it.
Every single person you hear who's ever watched him or worked with him or anything like that, Fraser, it's always the sort of same thing. Well, there's a talent there. There's certainly a talent there. I think it seems like people look at Stephen Robinson and back him as the type of manager that can get the most out of players. And if that is the case, then this could be an interesting deal.
Well, he's brought in a lot of players from the lower leagues in England over the piece and improved them and sold them on, or they moved on to bigger and better things. So he might do the same with Tony Watt. I was just looking there at, I think it's his 12th team, and he's only 26, 12th team since he, including Airdrie when he left them as a youngster. So as Hugh says, it's his life, and he'll have seen some interesting things, and I think Scottish players of all levels and shapes and sizes should broaden their horizons and go and try other things. And well done to Tony Watt, and he is in the end, he's still a good player, and he'll do something for Motherwell, especially they lost Devante Cole as well as James Scott in that window. So he'll give them options up there with Christian Long, the only real main striker.
Yeah, and I know he listens regularly, so that was encouraging that you both got through that without slagging him off, because he'll be listening. He'll be straight on the phone.
Well, I mean, Stephen
Robinson, you can slag off who you want, I'm only kidding.
Stephen Robinson doesn't strike me as the kind of man who will have time wasters on his hands. So I'm quite sure that Tony Watt has come back to Scotland with the intention of really enjoying his football again at Motherwell. If Stephen Robinson detects any flaw there, if he's not pulling his weight, if he's not trying hard enough, if the hunger is not there all the time, Stephen Robinson, I'm sure, will be the first guy who'll point out the error of his ways.
Well, if the international clearance comes through, he may well make his Motherwell debut against St Mirren in the Cup tomorrow. Derek is a St Mirren fan from Paisley. Looking forward to that tomorrow, Derek?
I am, yes, definitely, yeah. I think we can do Motherwell tomorrow, yeah, definitely.
You must be disappointed with that news about Ryan Flynn today, Derek. I know he's been a popular one among St Mirren fans.
Yeah, it's a big disappointment for us, and obviously we're losing Kyle as well, so it's very disappointing, totally, but I think we've got enough in the tank to definitely stay up and get out of the relegation zone and push on. No, I think things are going in the right direction there.
Where are you getting the confidence from for tomorrow? I remember hearing from Jim Goodwin after the last league game between St Mirren and Motherwell and Paisley, and he spoke about Motherwell being miles ahead of his side, you know, and something for them to sort of aspire to. What makes you think you can do it tomorrow?
I think the home advantage and the backing that the home support brings to the club at the moment is phenomenal. Out with any other team, I think we've got a tremendous core support there. It's just a shame that we can't bring more people into the ground, and the club are trying, and the boys in W7 are giving it a lot of Aldi as well, and they bring a lot, Josh and the crew also.
Well, it's a funny thing. I'm quite sure that Jim Goodwin would rather have survival in the league, as would Gordon Scott and those associated with the club. But I remember when St Mirren beat Dundee United under Alex Smith to win the Scottish Cup, Ian Ferguson's goal. And I remember when St Mirren beat Hearts in the League Cup final in that terrific 5-goal thriller. under Danny Lennon, and the people of Paisley really responded to cup finals. They can dream. You said earlier on, Gordon, that Friday night's about dreaming. The St Mirren fans can dream of an appearance at Hampden in a cup final. The manager would want survival before everything else, but it's a terrific looking game tomorrow. And
I think you're going along, well, Fraser, am I right? You're covering the game for this show, and there will be a good cup feel about it, a good atmosphere. I think Motherwell have sold out their allocation.
Yeah,
they were hoping they could get more, so hopefully it's as full as can be and there's a proper atmosphere there.
It's a good ground when you get a good crowd, and if you get maybe 6,000 in total, which I think is achievable in a ground of that size, the atmosphere's great. It'll be a battle of the drums, because you've got the Motherwell boys, they call themselves, that go on the far side. So they'll be in one corner, and the other corner, the far side from the main stand, will be the St Mirren young lads as well. So they'll be a great atmosphere. I think St Mirren need to do a wee bit to turn that around. They've been beaten quite comfortably by Motherwell a couple of times, but I'm looking forward to it. I played 7 years at Motherwell, 3 years at St Mirren, so good memories.
Divided loyalties.
Both teams. Aye, both teams.
You're a St Mirren man though, aren't you?
Kind of. I still like to see them. When I supported them as a kid, my daughter and my son, my brother-in-law and my son, so my brother and my son still go. It's a season ticket holder. So, but I'll a lot of time for the people at Motherwell. Still a lot of folk there. I think Motherwell might just edge it. I mean, it's unbelievable. St Mirren, Ryan Flynn, he's been brilliant. Converted to right back. They let Paul McGinn go because he's been so good. And as Derek was saying there, Kyle McGuinness, a key player in the skipper this year. He has also got a bad knee injury as well. For clubs like that, it's very difficult to, as a small squad, to cover good players like that. But I think we're in for a really good cup tie. I think there'll be a few goals tomorrow.
Anything else on your mind, Derek?
Just, I'd like to just talk about a wee memory for a very good friend of mine that's no longer with us.
Sure.
He was a Clyde fan, and obviously the anniversary of the Clyde vs Celtic game all those years ago. Brian McCammick was a chap's name, and he's very well known and respected at Clyde. Passed away a few years ago, and there's a cup the Clyde fans and supporters all play for every year, and his memory. It was donated by his son Ross and Lee Norrie's partner. Brian was a big Clyde fan, worked for him for 20 years. Brian McCammick, very well known, ran the main door, and you reporters would probably remember him. Quite a heavy chap with the suit, and kind of gave out the comps, and kind of ran the, he basically did run apart from running the team, to be fair.
He's probably kicked Hugh Keevans out the stadium a few times then. He's probably, not tonight, pal, giving you the knockback at the front door.
Yeah. But that's a nice memory. These are the things that fans care about. You know, the Clyde fans will bear Brian in mind on Sunday, and they'll think back to that day 14 years ago. But at the same time, the Celtic fans will go there and they'll have their memories of days gone by and supporters who are no longer with them. And Celtic, as I say, will be accompanied onto the park by history and the need to maintain the legacy of 32 cup wins in a row. So, again, a day of heavily charged emotion.
Derek, hope the boys enjoy the game tomorrow. That was Derek in Paisley. Martin is a Rangers fan from Falkirk. How are you feeling about tomorrow, Martin?
Confident. Like you say, Hamilton will put every man behind the ball, but Hadji, good player, if he plays, I think we'll do okay. I don't expect us to run away with it. I do think it's going to be a 1-0, 2-1 victory, but I do see us, you know, coming through quite okay.
Hadji to start the game for you?
Yeah, for me, yeah, for sure. Aribo doesn't work on the wing for me. Ojo doesn't work anywhere for me. Hadji's the only one that's given me a little bit of confidence. So, yeah, I would put Kent on the left, Hadji on the right, and Morelos through the middle, and I would be more than confident we can get through that.
It's always a difficult balance, Fraser. You know, you've got Stephen Gerrard saying, you know, it'll take him a bit of time, we're going to different venues and so on. But on the other hand, sometimes if a player's confident and he's got the momentum behind him and then the fans have a bit of belief in that player, sometimes you're as well just sticking with it.
Yeah, I would stick him in. I think he looks like he's something different from the usual midfield players that the Rangers have got. Jack and Kamara and these types of lads are similar types of players. Arfield's done well in that kind of advanced role. But for me, I think they need a wee bit more in that creativity, and he's a type of player that they needed. They've got good midfield players and good central midfield players. We've spoken about it a lot. But from that middle to front area, he looks like he's got something else. It was a great finish. I didn't see the game, But what a finish it was. Very, very clever, yep. Very sharp. Even only a small area to aim for. And I think when you're playing against a team that will sit in, Hamilton will get themselves organised, you need players. I'm just not relying on Kent to go and pick that defence. I think Hadji can bring that as well.
I can't recall, Fraser, a player starting his first game for Rangers scoring a goal of such importance, because Hadji not scored that goal, had the match ended as a draw, and Rangers had then dropped 7 points out of 9, I think tonight the whole complexion of this programme would have been different, because the Rangers fans would have more or less have given up on the title. Hadji's goal was that important, that pivotal. And so, I think he should start tomorrow, regardless of the surface, regardless of any other consideration. He should play because he's hot right now.
There's been a lot on the show tonight, Martin, about, you know, the importance of the Scottish Cup to Rangers, the importance of silverware to Steven Gerrard and so on. What do you think about the bigger picture?
Bigger picture for me, the hopes for the league are slightly dwindled a little bit. I still have much hope because we've got two Old Firm games coming on. The Cup, the league is the most important thing. But that doesn't mean to say that I'm going to be happy if we go to the Cup to focus on the league. I want to win everything that we're a part of, regardless. But I was going back to Hugh's point earlier on, a little bit earlier on, with social media and that, about Celtic fans saying Steven Gerrard will get sacked, Rangers fans saying Neil Lennon will get sacked. But I don't buy into that, especially for this season or for the next season starting. If, hypothetically, Rangers don't win the league this year, I don't think it's a good idea that Steven Gerrard loses his job. We are making progress, albeit slower than what we would like, but I can't imagine having only one season left to stop 10 in a row, having a new staff and team, new manager, new backroom staff, and potentially new players starting from scratch, don't know each other. I think that's a much bigger risk than sticking with Steven Gerrard, who is making progress, albeit there's no silver way to back up as my managerial credentials, but I do think there's too much of a risk to start from scratch when there's only one season left.
Yep, some fair points well made, Martin and Falkirk. Thank you very much. We do have to leave it there though, because it's time to take a breather, and then we've got a full time teaser coming up for Hugh and Fraser. We went all out. I wanted a first for the season, a first for goodness knows how many years. We asked for some Clyde fans on the phone. We got one. Going to push my luck even further, Hugh. Might be too ambitious, but dream big. Any BSC Glasgow fans out there? Chance to make, maybe already made history, chance to add to that this weekend. Any BSC Glasgow fans want to come on and talk about a potential giant killing? Now is your time. 01419511025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Road Accident Solicitors. The compensation you deserve when you've been sidelined. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Fraser Wishart's here with me, Gordon Duncan. Well seen, it's Friday night, by the way, because producer Andy's just come in and told me that whilst the calls are coming in for Super Scoreboard, he's also having to filter out some who are looking for shout outs on the GPX already. George will be back at 8 o'clock, so just hold fire.
I'll give you a shout
out. Otherwise, you'll have to settle for a shout out from Hugh Keevans.
Yeah.
Followed by, what would you play? The Hollies or something?
Oh, for sure, yeah. I've got my tickets for the Hollies in April. Lovely.
Anyway, right, before we take any more calls, and we've got a couple, I think I can see another Clyde fan as well. Don't think I've forgotten about you, BSC Glasgow fans. I know it was ambitious, but there must be someone out there who wants to come on and share your thoughts ahead of a big weekend. And if you don't do it tonight, we'll try again tomorrow. So you might as well do it. Let's do tonight's teaser. Now, try to say this without offending you two. How do I love it? This is a variation on a question that we had earlier in the week. So Mark Guiri and Jim Duffy got the difficult version, and you two are getting the easier version of the same question.
I think that's, no difference.
Is that
I think
fair?
That's fair.
Yes. Right. So it was sent in by Mikey, and we're looking for 12 goalkeepers who have made more than 10 appearances this century for Celtic or Rangers. Does not include current goalkeepers.
Oh God.
So 12 goalkeepers who've made more than 10 appearances this century for Celtic or Rangers, and it does not include current players. So Mark and Jim had to get the guys who had fewer than 10 appearances. So you've got easy ones. In theory.
In theory, yep.
Right, so from 2000 to the present day.
Yes. 12 goalies, more than 10 appearances for Celtic or Rangers. Just don't give me Craig Gordon, Fraser Forster, Alan McGregor, Wes Fotheringham, etc.
So 2000 is Martin O'Neill. Who's Mark Lanier's goalkeeper?
Rob Douglas.
Yes.
Douglas, yeah.
Well done.
Marcus Hedman. That was Magnus Hedman.
Yes.
Stefan Kloss.
Yes.
Lionel Charbonnier.
Didn't quite play this century. Just before. Just before. I think he was still there, but no appearances, no appearances. I'm afraid.
Raymond Vatarus.
I'll give you it. Ronald.
Ronald. Ronald.
Yeah. Raymond, maybe his brother.
He's not bad keeper as well.
We'll give you Ronald.
That's four. That's not bad.
Yeah, we'll leave it there. Magnus Hedman, Rab Douglas, Stefan Kloss, Ronald Vatarus. So you can play along on Twitter. 12 goalies, more than 10 appearances this century for Celtic or Rangers, and it does not include the current set of goalies. So don't dare give me Fraser Forster, Craig Gordon, Wes Fotheringham, Alan McGregor, and the rest of it. Let's go back to the phones. Sean is a Celtic fan. He's from Motherwell. How are you, Sean?
I'm alright, mate. How are you?
Not too bad, Sean. Are you the type that just panics about the possibility of a cup shock, or is it going to be plain sailing on Sunday?
Well, every year I've grown up, there's always been a shock. Regardless, FA Cup or Scottish Cup, there's always a shock. I personally don't think it'll happen to Celtic, but would, I don't know, I'm just trying to find a shock there. Would St Mirren beating Motherwell, would that be classed as a shock?
Nah, same division, no. Isn't it?
Yeah, same division.
Well,
yeah.
I've got a few friends at Motherwell, obviously staying in Motherwell, mm-hmm. and they are very, very, very ambitious about going to St Mirren. But I say to them, after Tuesday, Wednesday night, I know they're playing Celtic, which is hard, but after Wednesday, I watched the game and I says, if you play like you played the way you did against Celtic, St Mirren might beat you. But that's just my opinion.
To be fair, I think it'd be unfair to your own team there.
I know.
Celtic were outstanding.
I agree with that.
As they were
at, second half certainly yeah,
as they were at Hamilton Accies, it was all about the second half. The quality of the goals, the Edward is now positively frightening for opposing defences. So, you know, I liked the honesty from Declan Gallagher, who said that he was still looking for Edward. So, you know, I don't think that what happened to Motherwell against Celtic necessarily has any bearing at all on what happens to Motherwell at Paisley.
Sean, what type of team would you like to see Celtic put out? Is there anyone in particular you think this is the perfect game for?
Well, I'd like to see a couple of the fringe players and some of the couple of the new boys playing, but the only thing is, if you do rotate it like that, there is a risk of incomplacency, or if that's the right word, there is a chance. No, I'm not saying that there is a chance of getting beat, but if you rotate that much, a lot of the players haven't played each other that much, so there could be a stupid wee slip up, or hopefully not.
Yeah, I mean, Fraser, when you assess cup football, just because there have been cup shocks before doesn't mean you're going to get one. You know, sometimes people use it as the justification of why it might happen, is there has been a shock before, and it doesn't really work that way. However, it's kind of all you've got to go on. And I'm thinking even back to when East Kilbride played Celtic. Celtic won the tie, but it was nowhere near the gulf over the 90 minutes that you expected, just because a couple of changes here and there, guys who had a good pedigree and a good career, but just maybe not quite at it sharpness wise and hadn't played together. So how fine is that balance to find when you're trying to change a team?
I think there's a bit of balance as well, because Celtic are playing so well that you want to keep the momentum going as well. But the fact they've got a league game on Wednesday, they've got a league game on Saturday, they've then got to kick into the European ties against Copenhagen. Neil Lennon won't be looking at it saying, oh, Clyde beat us in 2006, we better put our strongest team. He'll be looking at it saying, we've got to respect Clyde, we've got to play a strong team, but he'll be taking into consideration all the games that they've had in the last 3 or 4 weeks and planning ahead. So that includes giving guys a rest, but also includes giving guys who have not been in starting 11 in the last few weeks, giving them a game. So he will make some changes, but with perhaps the sort of security of having Edward and Griffiths, if they don't start, on the bench should things go wrong.
A first start for Patrick Klamala, Sean?
I hope so, because there's a point of paying £3 million if you're not going to give him a chance like a run out. There's no point, really.
Well, I think that Griffiths has to play in this match as well. We know the partnership between Edward and Griffiths is growing and is becoming ever more profitable, but Griffiths, by his own admission, needs more and more game time. He needs minutes on the park, as they say. And I think he should play against Clyde as well. But you're right, Klamala, £3.5 million. Time to earn your keep.
Thank you very much. That was Sean in Motherwell on 0141 951 1025. You can tweet us at Clyde SSB. Lots of answers coming in on that teaser that you guys got. Bearing in mind, I'm looking for more than 10 appearances.
Lucas Zaluska.
Yes.
Oh, good one, Hugh. Like that.
Brotto.
8 appearances.
Ah.
David Marshall.
Yes, 50, I think. Okay, we'll leave it there. Ross goes on, he says, make no bones about it, Rangers have had a sticky patch. They've ridden the storm, come through. Celtic will hit a wobbler soon enough, and when that happens, we'll see if Celtic have a backbone. The Celtic team and support have hoped Rangers fold, and they haven't, says Roscoe. So Roscoe's still...
Well, both sets of fans will feel that way.
Defiant was the word I was looking
for. Yeah, you're talking about banana skin time. The two games at Ibrox and Celtic Park, I think, will determine who wins the title. But, for example, Hearts go to Celtic on Wednesday. In their last two games, they've scored 5 goals. So they know their way to goal. However, they've dropped 5 points in the process. So they don't know how to defend either. But they would come under the heading of banana skin, as would Kilmarnock at Rugby Park on Wednesday for Rangers. So it's fascinating. The fans of both clubs will believe that this will happen and that will happen, but it's truly fascinating. Now, push is getting the shove.
Yeah, here's a tweet I wanted to read out for a couple of nights, and I just trying to find the right time. I think Paul was trying to get through on the phone. Just something aside from what we've been talking about at the moment, Paul just wants to say a huge thanks to the GMA charity for supplying his school team with a grant to obtain a set of goals, which we will use for the first time this Saturday. We're extremely grateful. Now, basically, this is when we had one of our sort of grassroots nights. Remember, we were doing junior football and all the rest of it. And Paul McNeil, grassroots at the Scottish FA, was in here. So Paul phoned in telling us his story, and we were just happy to act as the middleman. And all of a sudden, the power of radio, Paul's got himself a set of goals, and the kids hopefully will score plenty of goals into them. So just wanted to put that one out there. Thank you to Paul for getting in touch and keeping us up to date. Mark is a Clyde fan. What are you thinking, Mark? Can you do the unthinkable on Sunday?
Hi guys. Hello everybody.
Hello.
Hi Mark.
Hiya. It's just to say I'm a wee bit nervous. I'm a first time caller.
Good to have you. Don't be nervous.
My wee team is playing the biggest team in Scotland and one of the biggest teams in Britain on Sunday. Now, we done it 14 years ago and I still believe we can do it this Sunday. Now, yes, there's leagues separating us, but we've got a really hard working wee team, and under Danny Lennon they are functioning and they're 100%. We just got promoted last season. We should have won the league as well. We could deduct some points, which you know about. But we'd won that league by all rights. But obviously, we played an illegitimate player. But that's by the by. I'm actually buzzing and I'm so nervous, but I'm so excited about this game on Sunday.
What are your memories of the 2006 game, Mark?
I was in the army at the time, and I watched in the pub with all my squaddies, all the boys I worked with. Right,
yeah, that was lively.
Oh, it was brilliant. But all my mates who were so-called Celtic fans were wearing all my Clyde tops, all my Clyde tops. I made them wear them. It was a great day, right? Did we not outclass them? Did we not outbattle them? Did we not outplay them?
We
scored 4 goals. We did. So what's to say it can't happen again?
Well, I'll put the devil's advocate case to you. It would be a major embarrassment for Celtic.
Like last time.
I understand that, but I'm trying to make out the case for you since you asked.
Mm-hmm.
A major embarrassment for Celtic. The end of the dream of a quadruple treble. They go on to the park with 32 cup wins in a row behind them. They want to maintain that legacy. And just to bring it down to nuts and bolts, they have far, far better players than Clyde. And it's a major embarrassment if they walk off that park and think the quadruple treble died against a team from the third tier.
Mark, who are the guys that you're hanging your hopes on then? David Goodwillie seems like the obvious one because he scores all the goals, but is there anyone else that you think could play a big part?
Yeah, with Ali Love.
Mm-hmm.
Darren Smith. We've got a good few players that can...
I'm a wee bit nervous on the phone. I'm not really.
You're doing fine. Don't you worry.
I'm hyped up. I'm actually hyped up about Sunday.
That's the magic of the Cup, Hugh. Two nights out, and Mark's getting excited.
You know what, as well, see when you're saying about, is there any Clyde fans out there? There's a good load of wee Clyde fans that go day in, day out, or week in, week out, away. If any of you are going to the game, or you're watching on telly, or commentating, look for the Clyde fans. We are a great bunch of fans. You will hear us. And it's going to be an amazing day.
Great day for the club.
I think I might go along actually, Mark, so I'll look out for you. I'll wear Hugh Keevan's favourite old Clyde One Super Scoreboard jacket, and that way you'll recognise me.
Will you come by the house and get me?
No. Because I have already heard you arranging your lift home with Fraser Wishart. I refuse to be drawn in
taxi
to such an arrangement. He'd actually, speaking of old clothing, people might think that we talk football in the office and we plan for the show and it's all very well thought out. Hugh just turned to me earlier on and he said, "Have you got any items of clothing that you just can't get rid of?" And I thought, where on earth is this going? I said, "No, I don't think so." And he just pointed at his old suit jacket that he's brought down to wear. And he says his wife hates it, can't believe he's not binned it yet, but it's really comfy. Yeah, and he just likes to keep
right
wearing
to.
It.
Just gives you a warm feeling when you put it on, you know.
You get to a certain age. I'm getting there, Hugh. I'm there. I like a bit of comfort, yes. Your favourite jeans.
Right, Mark, that was great. I don't know what you were nervous about. Give us a call back any time. Perfect time would be after the game. On Sunday, Monday night, we want to hear from you again, Mark. It's worked, Hugh. The power of radio. We're giving out goals to people. Helping. It wasn't us.
Now that Mark was
We've now got a BSC fan.
Good. But while Mark was on and talking about that game, Boric played in goal.
He did. Well done.
I'm going to give you Cammy Bell.
Yep.
Neil Alexander.
Yep. Okay, we'll leave it there. You've got one, two, three to go, is it?
Three to go.
One, two, three to go. We'll get them next, and we'll speak to Derek, who's a BSC fan, on the line.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, the league leader for compensation. Talk to Thompson's.com.
In the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, we're going to hopefully get the answers to tonight's full-time teaser. I'm going to speak to Derek, who's a BSC Glasgow fan, ahead of that potential giant killing on Sunday. Let's just check in on the question quickly. Thank you to Mikey for sending it in. And if you want to hear your questions used on the show in the future, the address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. So tonight's is this: can you name 12 goalies who have made more than 10 appearances this century for Celtic or Rangers, and it doesn't include the current goalkeepers? So you've got Magnus Hedman, David Marshall, Lucas Zaluska, Rab Douglas, Artur Boric of Celtic, Neil Alexander, Cammy Bell, Stefan Kloss, Ronald Vatterus at Rangers. Any more?
Steve Simonson.
Well done. 31 appearances, 2013 to 15.
The two remaining, are they from one club or one of each? Or
they're from one club. And
with Jonathan Gould.
Yes.
Gould, was he still?
Right, only one to get, and you've got loads of time to get it. So we could we'll do that a bit later on in the show. We said we wanted to hear from as many clubs as possible. Scottish Cup weekend allows us to cast the net a bit further than usual, and I'm delighted to say this must be a first. First ever BSC Glasgow fan on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Derek and Stirling, how are you?
I'm not bad. How are we doing, guys?
How excited are you ahead of Sunday?
Oh, massively. It's obviously a massive game for the club, given that I had the Clyde fan in before us. We're obviously another step down in terms of sizes, so we kind of just get just under 100 to most home games, and it's going to be a sellout, so it's massive for us.
And obviously the main question is, Derek, can you do it? I mean, it's probably the biggest ask we'll have had in a Scottish Cup tie in a long time, because you're actually talking Lowland League against Premiership. Clearly the odds are majorly stacked against you. What are you hoping for?
I'm not going to have any expectations, as you'd expect. I mean, the wind's going to help us. The weather's doing its best to make it just a bit chaotic. It's going to be a gale blowing. Who knows? Like, we'll be happy with, even if we get out with a respectable scoreline, a replay would be just brilliant for us as a club as well, but we're not going on many expectations, I don't think.
Well, hang on the line and listen to the comments by your general manager, George Fraser. Derek, and I'm keen to get your thoughts on this. He says he's hoping the Scottish Cup run can help them move back to Glasgow. The host Hibs at Alloa's Inderdrill Stadium on Sunday, of course. It's part of a ground-sharing arrangement. he'd like to see some of the money that they make go towards a new home.
You know, it's been an incredible rise for us. You know, I mean, we were only established in 2014. And if you told me back then that we had been the last 16 of the Scottish Cup playing Hibernian, I would have probably laughed. So, yeah, it's really one of those experiences that, you know, we have to savour, because you never know when it might happen again. But for a club of our size, of our age, so to speak, you know, it's been absolutely incredible. And yeah, surreal is definitely the word to use. The finances will come in very useful, that's for sure. It's no secret that we want to move back to Glasgow and have our own base, have our own ground in the city. And we're hopeful, you know, that some of this money might be put to good use in that respect. You know, we don't have any imminent plans at the moment. However, you know, I think, you know, we will be prudent with the money. We'll, you know, put it to a good use. We also have, you know, a big sports club behind us with a lot of youngsters in it. So we'll look to put it to the best possible use, and, you know, trying to, you know, obviously try and keep us financially viable for the foreseeable future as well. But I would like to think, you know, at some point, you know, we'll be able to put something towards our own facility in Glasgow.
Derek, what's the journey been like? How did you become a BSC Glasgow fan? Because as we just heard George Fraser, for those unfamiliar with the story, it's a relatively new club set up not so long ago. So how did you start following them, and what's the journey been like?
Well, I got involved with the league initially, because I was doing some bits and bobs for the Lowland, like I do their podcast and so on as well. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of just fell into kind of supporting BSC in the end, because it was essentially the local team, and I know George really well now. I know a lot of the guys behind the scenes, and it's just a cracking wee club. Like he says there as well, it's got potentially a full youth system already there as well. Like a few hundred boys and youth teams all the way through Brunel's, right? So everything's in place for it if the club get back to where we come from, you know, because we can't really grow a proper kind of fan base until we're back where we belong. And as good as Allah's been fantastic to us, but hopefully this is going to help us start the process of getting back home.
Yeah, because the success, I imagine, would come from being really deep rooted in that community and having those community ties and the roots there, which you already do, but it's a lot easier if your permanent footballing home is there as well.
Yeah, and if you look at the last round when we were away at East Kilbride, and the game there, we actually outnumbered their fans, which was one of the kind of rare times that you'll see that. But we had buses running from Partick and the like, so it makes so much sense for us if we can get back there that well, who knows where we could get, maybe even the SPFL, you know.
Well, speaking of someone who's born in Partick, I wish you all the luck in the world, but I now have to be brutal.
Oh, here he goes.
In my assessment. Oh.
It was going so well.
If Hibs went out to BSC Glasgow, it would go beyond embarrassment into the realms of humiliation.
Are we talking our biggest ever cup shock?
Yes, I would say
so. You think
so?
Because it's the Lowland League element, yeah, the non-league element.
We're now into the fifth tier of Scottish football, and Hibs top six in the top tier of Scottish football. It would be a major humiliation, and fans simply, I mean, Camberry saying that he thought Rangers was a dream move, that incensed the Hibs fans. To go out to BSC Glasgow would do Jack Ross, Leanne Dempster, and all of the players no favours whatsoever. So again, I have to introduce reality. If Hibs lose to BSC Glasgow, then they'll have to take the consequences.
It's a great tie though, Fraser, because the draw against East Kilbride, it was that sort of double-edged sword where, yes, it was giving both sides a greater chance of progressing, yeah, but you then fear that you've missed out on the glamour tie. And unfortunately for East Kilbride, that was the case. Fortunately for BSC, they get to take a crack at genuinely one of the biggest clubs in the country.
Yeah, East Kilbride and Celtic a couple of years ago, as you mentioned earlier, Gordon, as well. And you know, just looking at the squad for BSC, sometimes you go down to look at Kelty Hearts and Bonnie Rose, and you recognise a lot of the players who have played senior, but I think they're genuinely players who have made their way in the Lowland League and that kind of level, with Cumbernauld Colts and other teams as well, and now playing for Bobby Mill. Martin Green's one lad who's played.
Remember him at Motherwell, yeah.
Yeah, and he went to Partick Thistle for a spell. He was Stenhouse, Muir, Stranraer, Alloa. So he's made his way around that level. But a couple of lads on loan, Dave Mackay from Celtic and Evan Galasso from Thistle. So there is a wee sprinkling there. But for these players who have generally been part time players, they don't earn much money, if any at all. This is a brilliant day for them and thoroughly deserved. I was pleased when they got through against East Kilbride and then got the draw, you know, because East Kilbride have had that as well. It's fantastic for these players to get the big team and have their day in the sun.
Who are the guys to look out for, Derek? Who are the main men?
Well, you mentioned Martin Green there. He's still got it. You know, he's especially the level we play at, he's just different class. But Thomas Collins would be the one to look out for if we're going to score a goal. Don't worry, I'm not predicting we're going to win. if we are going to get a goal, I think Thomas Collins will have something to do with it. He's a busy wee player. We picked up for the juniors and he's probably going to make a move up. George probably won't let me say that, but I'd expect him to move up the ranks to league level because he's got everything you need. And we've got other guys as well. You might know Ross Smith at centre-back, used to be with Dundee United. Ross McMillan, another centre-back with Stirling Albion and so on. So we've got a lot of league experience in there. And it's mixed with generally young boys that might have been at academies that we've given a second chance to, that are now proving their worth. Like Thomas Orr, for example, was with Morton and a few other teams. So it's a cracking mix. We've got, it's a really strong dressing room.
I'm going to have to ask you to leave it there because we really are out of time. But Derek, it was great to hear from you. Hopefully you enjoy your day. And why not give us a call back on Monday night and tell us how it all went. That was Derek, our first ever BSC Glasgow fan on the line. Quickly, because as you can hear, the music is upon us. You've got one more to get on the teaser.
Initials
Dimitri Karin.
No,
he's always a good answer.
Just throw him in there.
Throw him in there. Need a clue.
I've got a clue that will nail it for you, I'm sure. He played for both.
Oh,
Mark Brown.
Mark Brown. He didn't get 10 appearances for Rangers, but he did for Celtic.
That's amazing.
So there you go, Mark Brown. Thank you, Hugh Keevans and Fraser Wishart. We love this stage of the Scottish Cup. It's a fantastic weekend. And to match the fantastic weekend, a return to the 6 hour special for us, Hugh. It's been a while. We've had a nice rest, but we're back at midday tomorrow. And we would love for you to join us. In the meantime though, for all you people who are getting your calls in early, you really can get your weekend started now. GBX Fridays are up next.
Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. The form team for compensation for more than 40 years. Talk to Thompson's.com.